It only takes 2 minutes of sheer horror.
A new Paramount Plus original docuseries.
We were dealing with a serial killer preying on elderly women.
A cold-blooded killer hidden in plain sight.
He's suffocating people with pillows.
Leaving corpses all over Texas.
How did it happen?
I was responsible for her. The guilt is immeasurable.
They covered it up.
Pillowcase Murders, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Welcome into the On Enquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, joined by Michael Tulip tonight. And unlike Joey Wagner and Derek Piper, filled in for me, big help from them. We get to talk about a win, Michael Tulip, the first win for Illinois basketball in, what, 2.5 weeks? Only two games during that, but two really disappointing, you know, make you think, what are we doing here? Like, what is going on here? Kind of losses. But Illinois bounces back. Thanks to Bruce Weber and Kansas State, 72-64. Kofi Coburn, fantastic, 23 points, 13 rebounds, looked like an All-American. Some bad news in this one, Trent Frazier leaves with an injury. Don't know anything yet on that, so sorry, no details. But obviously looks like he's going to be out for a little bit of time. Looked like a knee, not sure the severity. Hopefully it's a sprain, hyperextension, something like that. But we'll see on that. And Andre Curbelo comes out of the game for – a certain time, then comes back in, and then Brad Underwood says after the game, head trauma. So he played through some of that and played really well, 6 points, 7 assists. But Alfonso Plummer goes off, Michael Tulip, 21 points, 7 threes. When they needed offense, they needed a guard. Alfonso Plummer steps up. So thoughts right away.
I mean, it's got to start with him, right? I think you either start with Plummer or Kofi, and Kofi, you just kind of know what you're going to get from him. I mean, he's two games in. He's already, you know, 21 a game and 10 rebounds. He's right kind of that double-double mark. So you don't ever worry about Kofi, which is great. That's a great thing to have on your team. But I think Plummer kind of showed his ability to be a bit of a game wrecker on the offensive end. I thought there were two different instances in the game. He helped blow it up. They were reeling in that first half before he hit those three straight threes. It kind of felt reminiscent of that Cincinnati game where you kind of hit this, I don't know, this little impasse of like, okay, well, we can't really get any penetration. Kofi looks congested down there. And like I said, it kind of felt like Monday night. And then he just, you know, you got to have guys like that that just don't think, you know, and just do what they do well. And I think it was like this big, it looked like this big weight lift off his shoulders, especially after he hit the third one. I think that was when he was yelling, "I'm back." But it's amazing to see just how poorly he started the season shooting the ball. And then you look up now, he's shooting like 45% from three. So it's amazing how he can kind of turn that around in an instance. And I think him being able to do that on the offensive end opens up a lot of things for this Illinois team. And, but he's got to just be committed to the other end, especially now if Trent is missing extended time, he's got to be committed to that end. But I thought he was great in the role that he was playing tonight. I thought Kofi was fantastic, like you mentioned. And they fought. I mean, I think maybe Underwood touched on it in the post game there. They fought. Last night they did not fight. You know, and like we talked about before, they kind of conceded. And tonight – they were really just they found a way, would probably be the best way to put it, with Curbelo going out and Trent going down, and now just, hey, ball's in your hands, Austin Hutcherson, who's just now coming off of an injury, played a little bit last night. Like, it's been a wild start to the season. You know, so you're happy to leave Kansas City with a win, right? And you are currently on a winning streak, technically, of one, which is great.
Got to start somewhere, right? And it's a nice step forward after two big steps back. And you're right. I mean, Brad Underwood mentioned it, and obviously you had a full week of practice, so it's disappointing. But this team just hasn't played a lot together. And now with Trent seemingly likely out for, more games, that will continue moving forward. And I want to get into that, like what the loss of Trent for any particular period of time could mean for this team, because obviously – he didn't make a shot. He didn't score a point in Kansas City here. And 60 minutes, which is just absolutely insane. But offensively, Mike, actually before that, you mentioned effort, energy. For me, it was how you respond, right? It was how you respond. And Alphonso Plummer said in the post game to us, I asked him, what did coach just say to you? Like, how were these last 24 hours? And he said, coach said that, hey, when tough times hit, the weak fall, right? But the strong bounce back and they respond to it. And we saw that in this game, another good start for them, 13-7 to start. And then they go on a 9-1 run Kansas State does to take the lead. And you're thinking, this is a familiar script. But then they fight back. It was a huge response. I text you, good response. You said great response. What did you see in that? Because time after time, Kansas State kept coming back, took a lead for beginning of the second half, right? 6-0 run. Illinois keeps turning the ball over. But then there's another response. Like, it was simple. It's what you should expect every day. But given what we saw last game, that's what we needed to see.
Yeah, I mean, let's go back to the Marquette game. You know, that game ends, and then you wonder for the next week kind of what practice is like and what the preparation is going to be like for Cincinnati. And you know, I've always said it, your preparation or whether or not you have a really good week of practice, that doesn't just automatically translate to the next 40 minutes of gameplay. It can get you off to a really good start because you're dialed in on the game plan. You know, everybody's confident because, you know, you're clicking on all cylinders during practice. It can get you off to good starts in games. And that's exactly what happened in that Cincinnati game. But for Illinois, I think what ends up happening, and Andre Curbelo is guilty of this, and there's some other guys that are guilty of this, where they're dialed in to start the game, but once other things happen, missed shots, bad calls, like that's when you start to get on this roller coaster. And I thought tonight they looked like they really made a dedicated effort to just not let those outside factors and things that are out of your control. And I get it, you know, it's weird to say missed shots are out of your control, but good shooters shoot 40%. And so they're missing 60%. So you're going to miss shots. You know, you're going to turn the ball over. You don't want to do it at the rate that Illinois is doing it right now, but those turnovers are going to happen. But how can you limit, like we talked about with Andre Curbelo specifically, but with the team, like how can you limit these compounded mistakes where the missed shots turn into blown assignments defensively, turn into just like a lack of, we talk about Luke Goody, like you feel Luke Goody on defense. Yesterday at Cincinnati didn't feel anybody, you know, it was almost like they looked like they were playing 5-on-0, you know, and just kind of going through, it looked like they were in warmups. But I thought today Kansas State felt them a little bit. I think that's another thing Andre Curbelo can improve on, right? Is just when he's defending somebody, like you want that guy to feel you. There's too many guys that are confident when Andre Curbelo is guarding them. So, I thought the toughness aspect, you know, you can bring that into the game and you can say, this is how we're going to start the game. We're going to punch him in the mouth. And they kind of did the last two games, but the really, really tough teams, are able to sustain that for 40 minutes because there's just so many things that take place during a game. So that was really great to see. And I think you can learn from this film, right? Like when you're playing hard, when you're playing the right way, you can take stuff from that film. You can't take much from the Cincinnati film other than, hey, we need to do our job and we need to play hard.
By 20 assists and 25 field goals, Illinois shoots 52% in this one, 12 three-pointers, and two of those assists from Kofi Coburn. Kofi Coburn, career high two assists. We saw him move the ball. We just saw better ball movement, better offense. There were some, you know, there's a 5-minute period there in the first half where kind of broke down a little bit. What was different offensively? What'd you see?
Yeah, I think, you know, I made this point. I'm not sure if you and I talked about it in reference to the Cincinnati game. I think when you talk about the insertion of Kofi, right, when you integrate him into the lineup, your initial thought is like, well, you know, he's a big man. You're going to feed him, obviously, but how much is that going to impact your offense? And the way it impacts your offense is, if Andre Curbelo, and I know it always goes back to Andre Curbelo, but you're the point guard, there's a lot of responsibility here. If you're the point guard, it is just imperative to get other guys involved early, especially when you have a post presence like Kofi. Because if you don't, Curbelo started off that game, and he had a great start, right? You know, he scored 8 points early. Kofi scored, 12 points early. But Trent wasn't in a rhythm. DeMonte wasn't in a rhythm. Grandison wasn't in a rhythm. Hawkins wasn't in a rhythm. So now what happens and this is the comparison I make, and I apologize for anybody that's like, God, this guy makes a lot of football references. But think about a very run heavy offense, right? When you are trailing a offense, you kind of feel like you're at the mercy of that offense. Like, it's really hard to mount a comeback. But when that run heavy offense gets down, which, you know, that's the post presence, right? You know, you're talking about two pointers. You're talking about high percentage shots. But if you are down 15, 13 to 15, if that is your offense, it is hard to come back. It is really hard to mount a comeback. The deficits become very hard to erase. You know, you talk about a 15 point deficit, but if your only offense is Kofi Coburn, left shoulder, right hook, like, it's just impossible. Cause then you have to rely on Trent. You have to rely on these guys to make shots, to get you back in the game. And if they're not going early, it's hard to just pick that up mid game.
It's like Kofi Coburn's Derrick Henry and the Titans, right? It's kind of right. What it is. They don't want to get behind too much. I know they got some good receivers, but it just, the ball movement was great. And I thought Andre Curbelo, you know, defensively did not have a strong game, right? He's got to lock in there more, but I thought he was controlled, right? I thought that he had good, you like to use the word pace. I thought he had good pace to him. You know, still had a couple turnovers, 7-2, man. That's a good game. Only played 20 minutes. And when he was not in the game, Mike, I thought it was felt until Alphonso Plummer kind of saved them. So when he got back on the court late in the fourth quarter, I thought it mattered. Got an assist right away. Jacob Grandison steps into a three for a huge one. I thought that's what you need him to be. I think that's how he leads, right? Is by being controlled, by being paced, and he went five hole on somebody and did what Andre Curbelo does.
Yeah. I mean, the contrast between how he started the Marquette game and how he started, honestly, these past two games. Like, I thought these past two games, he just had a very, you know, he was a little bit more deliberate scoring the ball last game against Cincinnati. But I thought this game in particular, you could tell it really did. And I know I tweeted this, but it really did look like a dedicated effort from him to get others involved and play with pace. And I think with Andre, at times, he plays at his own pace, but at you don't want to like teeter that line of like, okay, what's kind of playing under control and what's nonchalant. Like, you can't be so loose with it and just kind of, but I thought he looked very firm early in the game, and just, he looked like he knew where he wanted to go. He looked like he knew where to throw the ball, who to get involved. That skip pass, like we talked about, you sent me the text where it was like, how many times does the ball get skipped from corner to corner? And it happens, but it rarely happens for a shot. And part of that is obviously Andre Curbelo, and part of that is Kofi Coburn, right? Like, Kofi Coburn, the gravity that he creates underneath the basket, like, you can have those types of passes. And look, you know, whatever, it was 20 assists on 25 field goals. It helps having seven of those be catch and shoot Alphonso Plummer shots. You know, but I thought Andre Curbelo tonight, battling through what he was battling through, on the bench, in, out, like, there wasn't really a rhythm, and he didn't really let that affect him, which I think is, you know, it's a step forward from, you know, some of these previous performances he had. But I'll say this, you know, for a team right now that has 73 assists, 90 turnovers, in terms of guys that have played meaningful minutes and have played most of the games, there's two guys that have a positive assist turnover ratio. Andre Curbelo is 22-16, and Trent Frazier's positive, but he's 9-8. Like, it's close. So, you know, I think it's on some of these other guys that aren't the prime, you know, decision makers to be solid with the ball. Like, you know, you're going to have Andre Curbelo making turnovers, but there is just no excuse for Andre Curbelo and Coleman Hawkins to have the same amount of turnovers. I know Andre Curbelo's played one less game than Coleman Hawkins has. That can't happen. And Coleman Hawkins has tried time and time again to drive from the top of the key and split that defense. And I think four of his 16 turnovers have been from that. So he's got to shore that up, be a little bit more under control. But he's obviously shown flashes that, you know, over these last few games that certainly gives you some excitement.
And I'm looking at this, Mike, like, they give Kofi Coburn four turnovers and Jacob Grandison has none. Two of those are Jacob Grandison's, like, yeah, just throwing him at his feet. Yeah, I mean, Andre Curbelo, two of the 18 turnovers tonight. As you said, like, that, he's still got a positive assist to turnover ratio. Like, the Marquette game was ridiculous, but he's going to turn it over sometimes, but he's always going to be mostly in the positive. What is it with this team? I mean, turnovers are a concern. 18 turnovers are the only reason Kansas State was still in this basketball game, because K-State ended up having 17 more shots than Illinois. Obviously, Illinois made more, and Illinois totally dominated the rebounds, 42 to 26, but 23 points for Kansas State off those 18 turnovers. What's the issue there?
Yeah, I mean, just like shooting the basketball, right? You need to have confidence to be a good shooter, you know, and when you don't have confidence, you tend to miss shots. And it's the same thing when you're playmaking. It's the same thing when you're making passes. Decisiveness is what ends up, you know, breeding good results on the offensive end. I had somebody that tweeted me tonight, was like, hey, some of these passes look slow. You know, they're not really on time, not really on target. And you know, my response was it comes from decisiveness. Quick passes, efficient passes, good passes are from, you know, being decisive and saying, hey, I am getting to this spot here to make this play. And it just comes from slowing down. But there's been some just really bad turnovers early. Like, it's not just, you know, you'd think a lot of it would come from Kofi trying to feed Kofi, and some have. I don't know, like we talked about during the game, I don't know what the infatuation is of throwing at his ankles. I don't get it. And it's not only Curbelo. Curbelo was guilty of it. But, you know, I think Granison did it this game. Coleman Hawkins has done it before. I don't get it. I don't know. But I think these guys just have to really, you know, especially you're a guy that's not shooting the ball well, which DeMonte isn't. Before this game, Plummer wasn't. Coleman Hawkins can shoot it a little bit better too. If you're one of those guys, like, you can't let that snowball into taking away your confidence to, you know, to make passes, to make reads. And part of that, you know, it's the reason why Trent doesn't tend to run into that as much as other guys, is because, you know, Trent knows his limitations. We've talked about that before, right? He kind of knows who he is. And I think some of these other guys are starting to find out. I mean, that was my thing. Like, I knew when I was in college, right? Like, the more I started dribbling around, like, that just wasn't, like, I was a shooter. It wasn't my strength. Like, I could make plays off the dribble, but I knew we had other guys on the team that could do it at a higher level. So there's no point in me trying to prove that over and over again when it's just not my strength. Like, when we were at Wright State, I think I started off the year like 20 assists, one turnover, and I was starting every game playing 30 minutes. I just knew what got me into trouble and what didn't. And I think that's part of the reason. That's why you stay on the court too. Like, if you're a reliable guy that can handle the ball, that can move the ball throughout the offense, and you're dependable in that sense, and you can tie, you know, if you're a guy that's turned the ball over, I mean, it's the Alphonso Plummer thing, right? Before tonight, and it's the reason why he didn't have many minutes starting this game. If you turn the ball over and aren't defending, you're not going to play.
Yeah, can I own up to my text to you after?
Yeah,
that
I mean, like, you said never mind. Go ahead.
After that turnover, I texted Mike, because he texted me, oh, man. And I tweeted out, like, he's not helping himself for playing time, but it's actually, you can't play him. If he can't play defense and he can't handle the ball and he's not shooting and making shots, can't play him. Well, he shut me up pretty quickly. But before we get into Plummer and you know, Frazier, you know, being out potentially, and then, you know, obviously Curbelo dealing with what he's dealing with, Coleman Hawkins, the last three games against high major opponents, it's been a little bit of a wake-up call, right? Like, I think on both sides of the ball, I think tonight, two big threes. I like that he got four rebounds after one rebound night the game before. But I mean, this is kind of like what he's going to go through, right? I think this is a really important three games for him to learn from. What did we learn about Coleman Hawkins in these three games?
It's different when you're not the guy that has all the length, right? Those gaps that were there on those drives against Jackson State and Arkansas State and IUP and St. Francis, they're not there anymore. Like, they're just not. So I think he can still be extremely efficient. He doesn't have to, in my opinion, like, he doesn't have to take guys off the dribble or feel like he has to. Like, I think Coleman Hawkins can do a lot for this team. You know, just being a guy that stretches the floor, that's active, that keeps balls alive. I mean, here's the reality. I mean, the guy leads the team in steals. You know, he leads the team in steals. He leads the team in blocks. And to me, like, it doesn't lower your pro prospects if you're a guy that does those things and just on the offensive end, it's like, hey, catch and shoot, move the ball throughout the offense. You know, don't have to be a guy that takes guys off the dribble. Because right
great
now, it's
passer. He's a great passer. Like, I want to see, not seeing a lot of offensive rebounds like that. That he can get so many points, Mike, off of crashing the boards.
You're right, and you made the pass. You made the point about his passing. Andre Curbelo has 16 or 22 assists in the season. Coleman Hawkins has 12. He's second. You know, which is really cool to see out of a guy that's 6'10" and as skilled as he is. But he can still have 3, 4, 5 assist games by just being solid. Like he doesn't always need to be the guy that like takes guys off the dribble and tries these little dump off passes. Cause oftentimes for guys that big, that leads to charges, that leads to foul trouble. You know, and those turnovers can obviously kill you. So I think he looked a little more settled down today than he did against Marquette. I know he played well against Marquette later in the game. He was a little frantic early, but you know, he wasn't great against Cincinnati. But I thought he found ways to be impactful, hit a big three in the second half. And that can really be his role this year. You got the big fella, you got Curbelo, you got some other perimeter threats. So, hey, you know, just do what you're efficient at, and he can shoot at a high level. When his feet are set, you saw him catch that, and he had made up his mind. He was open, catch it. And, you know, it was almost like a catch high, keep high, release it. Like, it looks so good. It's so smooth. It's quick. And he's going to get plenty of those. So, you know, that's where his bread can be buttered. He doesn't have to be a guy that is making plays off the dribble.
Agreed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
All right, so Trent Frazier likely out for at least multiple games, right? We'll find out here soon. Obviously, huge loss defensively. Really got into a rut here offensively in Kansas City. But Alphonso Plummer becomes very important, right? Austin Hutchinson got 20 minutes tonight, Mike. So if Trent Frazier's out for multiple games, a long time, what's that mean for the team, especially with Plummer and Hutchinson?
Well, it's a big hit. I mean, it's a big hit to this team's defense, this team's – and we saw it a little bit in the exhibition game, right? You know, him being out, it's just – he's the guy that gets through screens. We talk about it all the time. He gets through screens, right? He doesn't get beat off the dribble. He keeps the defense out of rotation. So those are big shoes to fill for some of those guys. I'm looking at Hutch. I'm looking at Plummer. You know, hopefully when Luke Goody comes back, he can just be another guy in there that you don't have to worry about defensively because he'll be in the right spot. I think he's a guy that can help out. And Andre Curbelo, like, hey, man, you know, this would be a whole different story. You know, Io had a tendency at times to take some plays off defensively. But the thing with Io, man, he was scoring 22 a game. Like that's not Andre Curbelo's deal right now. Like, you know, he doesn't really have that excuse. But I will say this, you know, Andre Curbelo's a guy that for as much as, you know, try to factor in how much he orchestrates that offense, he's number one in the nation in assist rate right now. 55%. When he's on the floor, that's insane. He's number one. And the other funny stat that's compared to that, like if you go on KenPom, you are nationally ranked if you're in the top 450 in the country, right? Andre Curbelo is number one in the country in assist rate, turnover rate. He's not even in the top 450, which is insane. But that's how bad Illinois has been taking care of the ball, because it's not just him turning over the ball; it's everybody. But going back to Trent. You know, he hasn't been great offensively. Especially in Kansas City. He obviously had that, he had the Marquette game. But I think from a leadership standpoint, I think he just does a lot for this team. And I'm even wondering, I think there's a chance here to maybe sprinkle in some alternative defenses. Not saying it's going to happen, but I don't know. I mean, the best way at times to keep a team off balance a little bit is when they kind of have to prepare for different types of defenses. And I could even see a world. This is just me thinking here. Where like you go 1-3-1 and put Austin Hutchinson at the top of the 1-3-1 with that length. Like that is, it's something that made Xavier really good. Back in the day when they had JP McCura, who's, 6'6" or 6'5", 6'6" with like a 6'10" wingspan, use that length, make teams throw it up over the top. Like, I think there's an opportunity here for you to get kind of creative and shield some of these guys on the defensive end. But at the same time, you can't let the zone defense kind of impact your toughness. Cause a lot of times the man defense is what kind of puts you in that toughness mode. So, but I don't know. I mean, something to think about. I would be interested to see it and see what they could do with it. But who knows? I'm sure they'll stick to their man principles. And if they do, it's on those guys to step up and be ready to make an impact on that end.
Yeah. Cause defensively, Mike, I mean, the rebounding was great tonight. But the dribble drive, especially in the first half, Kansas State was running a layup line there for a little bit. Is that mostly Curbelo, or what needs to happen there to, cause they're going to play teams that have a lot better guards than K-State. Not that K-States are bad, but they're just not as good as some of the guys coming up.
Yeah. I think the getting beat off the dribble, that's really where it all starts. How you keep your team out of rotation. We talk about that with Trent. But I'll say this, there were countless times, especially there in the first half, that, and when Trent's out of the game too, guys are getting labeled on screens, right? And like, if you get labeled on screens, it's really hard to recover. But just head up guarding the ball, part of that is, yeah, you got to guard your yard, like say. But part of that too, like you can deter a ball handler by your activity in the gaps. So for people that aren't familiar with the gaps, right? Like if I'm guarding the ball at the top of the key and there's two offensive players on the wing, those defenders are in the gap between the top of the key and the wing. And that's what's supposed to deter you from driving. And it's what helps those defenders that are guarding the ball, right? It helps them recover. And that's what Luke Goody's so good at, right? Like he's just a great gap defender. And you can cover up a lot of stuff defensively. So I think that's going to be the story here moving forward. I know KenPom recognizes Illinois as technically the number two defense in the country. Certainly not the case if you're watching it. But I think moving forward, it's a chance, and maybe it's going to be a thing where Alfonso Plummer knows that he has to do it. And I think that could pull some defensive prowess out of him. But same thing with Austin Hutchinson, right? I think those two guys, how they defend, and Andre Curbelo, I'll throw him in there, how those three guys defend here moving forward and Trent's potential absence, I think is going to determine this team's ceiling here in the next few weeks.
A big couple games coming up, Mike. Just how you build on this, right? UT Rio Grande Valley, projected to be one of the worst Division I teams, even though Matt Figger, Brad knows really well from his time at Kansas State and South Carolina as assistant coach under Frank Martin. And then Notre Dame after that, right? So now it's, can we build on this? Can we string them together? And without Trent Frazier, potentially, that could be difficult. But what do you want to see Friday heading into Monday?
Toughness. I mean, that's it. I mean, it's where it started tonight. It's what won them the game tonight. They obviously knocked down some outside shots. But there's something to be said, when you out toughing your opponent, you feel a little bit more confident, you feel a bit more athletic. You have a little bit more confidence shooting the ball like they did tonight. That's what you want to see. All these games, Plummer's not going to be 7-for-9 from 3 every game. In fact, I mean, this could be the only game all year he makes 7 threes. Kofi is going to have his customary 14 to 24 points. And, 8 to 14 rebounds. But all these other pieces, I mean, I'll always go back to it. Like, Kofi raises your floor as a team. Like, I think Kofi truly raises your floor as a team. But the guard play is going to determine what the ceiling of this team is. It just is. I mean, go back and look at any team that accomplished anything in college basketball. I mean, seriously. I mean, go back to every single national champion you can think of, Final Four team you can think of. None of them were, like, built around solely a big man, right? Like, they had guard play that could kind of balance it out. And I think that's going to be the story moving forward. Like, what type of production can you get from your guards? You know, are you setting the tone with your toughness, with your grit every single game? Doesn't matter who it's against. Doesn't matter where it is, Kansas City, Champaign, you know, or South Bend, wherever. It doesn't matter where it's at. Like, that just has to be, those are the non-negotiables, you know? And I think if they truly can make that their identity, like it has been in the past, you start stringing together some wins here. And I think you can take some momentum here going into to Big Ten play.
Michael Tulip, you're the goods, man. It's nice for Illinois to get back on a winning, maybe a winning streak here. We'll see if they can stack them together. But just to cool people down, it still could be a good team, right? Like, don't throw them out quite yet. It was kind of the reminder tonight.
Yeah, I mean, they started 9-5 last year, right? And I think this is, it's kind of been the story over the years with, I'm not saying with Brad Underwood teams, but with any team. Like, you know, no one is a finished product in November. It's just not the case. You lose a National Player of the Year candidate and you try to figure out, you know, what life after Iowa looks like. And it's different for sure. And I think this team's got to figure out a way here. And the way they can build is just by doing it by committee. You know, like I said, Kofi's going to do Kofi, but these guards, these wings, like, they're going to have to do it by committee. So that presents a challenge, obviously, but, you know, I think it becomes that much sweeter when you improve, when you progress as a team and you hit Big Ten play and you look back on the Marquette and Cincinnati game and just kind of look at it as more of an aberration. Be like, man, you remember, like, how weird was that, you know? And then finally things fall into place, guys get healthy, you know, and you take off. So, you know, this team has the pieces. It's just a matter of staying focused, staying diligent and playing with that toughness, and they're going to be just fine.
Mike, thanks for the time as always, man.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Great stuff as always from Michael Tulip. Give him a follow on Twitter, by the way. He's a great follow during the games at @LaTulip_Mike. And he's going to bring more analysis to us later in the week. We're going to take a couple days off here with the holiday, obviously. But Friday, we're going to do a film room breakdown. Well, he will. Breaking down the difference between Cincinnati and Kansas State. So I'm really looking forward to that. Showing us really the difference of the offense we're going to focus on. So Mike breaks it down, man. If you haven't seen it, the VIP film room breakdowns, like, I learned so much. I learned so much during those, whether it's Jay Layman or Michael Tulip. It's just been, you know, I wanted to see how it would go, but I've been really happy with how it turned out and excited that those guys bring their insight to all you guys. And if you're not a VIP film, a VIP member, I should say, we're going to have a great Black Friday deal for you. And I can tell you, just Jay and Mike alone will be worth the price to get in on the VIP side of things. But then, of course, we got football recruiting, basketball recruiting, the basketball season. It's going to be huge football offseason with signing day just a month away. So you'll want to sign up for that, or you can just sign up for your first month for $1 and give us a try out. But appreciate all of that. It's been a fun time here in Kansas City. Been a long road trip. I am ready to get back to my family, see my wife and kids, but it was a really cool trip here. I know the first night didn't go very well in Kansas City, but got to get some delicious barbecue. Thanks to Nathan Chilos for a couple really good suggestions. Q39 was probably my favorite one that I had here. The Negro League Baseball Hall of Fame was really cool to see. Got to see Deion Thomas while I was there and learn even more about some of the guys I read a lot about when I was a kid. Jackie Robinson, Satchel Paige, Josh Gibson,
It was really cool to see all that stuff. So pretty cool city and a really cool event city, especially with that T-Mobile Center. There's a lot of great places down there in the Power and Light District. So it's a city I want to come back to. It was pretty cool experience. So we got plenty more content though coming up the next couple of days. I'm about to get ready on my player grades before I drive back to Illinois. And Joey Wagner caught up with Ty Rogers, Illinois basketball commit. Derek Piper will have more on this game. So we'll have more during the holiday, more content for you guys to have and talk about with your family members. Plenty to talk about with Illinois football and basketball. Still plenty ahead with UT Rio Grande Valley. The Northwestern game as Illinois tries to win the Land of Lincoln Trophy for the first time in 6 years and potentially play themselves into a bowl game at 5 wins. So a lot to play for them before a huge, busy, important offseason for Brett Bielema. But going to be off the grid a little bit on Thanksgiving, enjoy it with my family, put up some Christmas lights as well. But we're going to get right back at it Friday and Saturday with a very busy Illini weekend. But everybody enjoy your holiday. And we'll be around our family a little bit more, I think a lot of us this year. So I think we'll cherish it a little bit more. But enjoy it. Everybody take a little time off. Be around your family. Watch some football and eat a bunch of turkey. Eat a bunch of dressing, mashed potatoes. That's what I go for. But we'll talk to you on Friday after the Illinois basketball game. We'll talk to you Saturday after the Illinois football game. But until then, everybody, have a great holiday weekend. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.